意，却顾不了高的不甘没有留笔，不如该呀卡巴巴的都路马，想过路过马来耶，足够就敢顾不巴嘎伊，却顾不了高的不甘没有留笔，不如该呀卡巴巴的都路马，想过路过马来耶，足够就敢顾不巴嘎伊，却顾不了高的不甘没有留笔。Makes me happy, sunshine. What?
Keep going.
No, let's do it. Welcome to Tiger Belly. I stopped singing.
Oh, yeah. Tiger right. Belly.
Welcome to Tiger Belly. I want to say this. My mood is shifted today. I'm in a very, very, not a bad mood.
You
but
look
just,
aggressive.
I'm very aggressive today, and I woke up at 6 p.m. I think that has a lot to do with it, my depression. And last night, I couldn't sleep because I was playing Bejeweled Stars. I wanted to get to the end.
Did you?
Yes.
What level? Wow. Did you really get to the end?
I'm to the end now. Yeah.
Holy what shit. Level is that?
205 or something.
Whoa.
So I got to the end of that, and then I took a bath, and then Kalila at 10:30 in the morning goes, "Are you dead?" Because she thought I had died in my fucking...
What?
I always have these anxieties that I'm going to find Bobby... dead somewhere. Like, I think we were in Arizona in the hotel and I couldn't find him. Like, I woke up at 6 in the morning and I couldn't find him, so I look on the side of the bed to see if he had rolled over and died. Like, those is always just the first thing. And so I woke up because I heard water running in the bathroom. And I looked at the clock and it said 10:30 a.m. and he usually takes a bath at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So then I'm thinking, oh my God, he's been there since 6 a.m. He's for sure dead. I'm going to walk into a bathroom with, like, you know, just water overflowing and his body floating dead.
Or that one time you called your mom, right?
Is 6 a.m. like your nighttime bath?
Yes.
Like
She called her mom, like, I don't know where Bobby is. I was slept in the closet. Remember that one time?
Oh, yeah. He slept in the closet. God knows why.
Yeah, I was just sleeping in the closet. I closed it and she thought I had died somewhere.
I called his phone.
She called
my phone.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. I don't think I'm going to die that way. I think I'm going to die in
I bet you outlive us all.
I bet you not.
I bet. Well, that's negative. First of all, let me just say that. What my friend Charlie's... First of all, give Charlie a round of applause.
Yeah,
he's back.
Charlie. Oh, my God.
What my friend Charlie did was gave me a positive thing.
Yeah, because we're starting off in positive.
Yeah, but you're saying that I was going to die in a... Probably outlive everybody in the room.
Yeah.
And then my girlfriend says, probably not. And that's negative.
Like a 95-year-old Asian guy smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. You know, thank you so much for that.
Charlie, we're supposed to get him healthy.
I hope you manifest
that. I want Bobby healthy.
Do you?
Yeah, I want you
around. I don't think so.
I want you around for
as long
as possible. Oh, yeah.
Man. That's real nice.
We took you hiking.
You took me hiking.
Yeah,
I went naked a little bit up there in the tree. Yeah. It's really good to be naked in the nature. You know?
Yeah.
It's really nice. To be with God, to be with the animals and insects, and be naked is a nice thing. So thank you for taking me there. But you know, I woke up and you know what, guys, I want this to be a positive experience.
Me too.
You do?
Yeah.
Why? Because you came in. I'm just gonna say this. I'm not gonna expose you to the world. Okay.
It's okay.
But someone in this room, maybe a couple of people.
All three white guys.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Are we outnumbered?
Are Trump supporters. Oh. And I, what?
No, I just...
got called out, bro.
I didn't say you.
You're addressing me. That you're saying that I'm a Trump supporter.
There's six people in the room. I said three people.
If anybody listens to this... Do people in the entertainment business listen to this podcast?
No.
Okay, because if they did, I would... It's like, remember when people used to get blacklisted for being communists?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The same thing is happening in our business. If you just happen to go a little to the right, you're automatically on a list.
I understand that, and I'm going to tell the people right now, he's not fully there.
No.
No,
not even close.
But he's a Bernie.
This country, and I love that. I love that we have Bernie and Trump.
He loves Bernie. He doesn't like Hillary because
shrillery.
Shrill
voice.
Shots fired.
Whoa. Yeah.
Her eyes are, she's got this huge eyes because she's in a state of shock from all the people I've lied to. and murdered.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
like that documentary Dirty War, you know, yeah. the illegal drone strikes on brown people and innocent villagers. And I understand that every presidential, what do you call it?
Regime
yeah. has their dirty secrets.
We're a dirty country. We have shadow wars.
But you don't think that Trump will do the same thing? I mean, the things he said about Mexicans and Muslims and those kind of things is that I just technically can't support him because of the fact that I'm brown.
Right.
And you three whiteys in here. I want to say that. You three whiteys in here. You know, you guys were born, you know.
On third base.
No. You weren't.
No, I know.
You were born on home plate.
What? Wow. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. Why did you do a baseball reference? I don't know anything about baseball.
You've never heard like the born on.
I don't know
base?
Anything about. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you can go straight to the.
You're like an advantaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
White privilege.
Right.
You're born on third base.
You're one base away yeah. from home, babe. Right. Home run.
Yeah.
You're in between home run and third base.
Yeah.
You're running already. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my point is that maybe you don't understand the plight of the ethnic man.
You're in the dugout, babe.
I'm in the dugout.
He's just a bench warmer.
On a different team. Not even baseball.
A different sport?
Different sport altogether.
Yeah. Field hockey.
Field hockey. That's what I'm playing.
Croquette.
But anyway.
that's a white man's sport too.
But I understand that your agitation toward Hillary. And we just came into my house, you know what I mean, with that just like, you know, that... The NRA energy.
The NRA energy. I don't support
shoot a black guy or whatever.
No,
you know what I mean? No,
I'm not. I don't.
No, but he is. No,
I'm
but
not.
I know. Charlie is liberal in many ways.
Yeah.
In you believe in a woman's
ways,
right
actually.
To choose.
Yes, absolutely.
You believe in. You don't believe in gun control, though.
I do. I just don't think it's going to work.
That's very good. And that's your opinion. That's fine.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to have that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's do a little prayer for Sandy Hook real quick.
Okay.
Okay.
A moment of silence for Sandy
We're
Hook.
We're like a few years late,
it
but
doesn't
that's
matter.
Okay.
I every once in a while do that for the little babies.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Oh, it was an internal prayer?
Do you believe in gay marriage?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, yeah. You should be allowed to get married to anyone you want.
But you do believe in small government?
I do believe in small government.
Right, so you're a mix of... I think everyone in the country is a mix of certain ideals and philosophies. You know, like George, you know, is a Trump supporter.
He's a libertarian.
Can I tell you something really quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
As the left, the liberals, quote unquote, get more power and more momentum, the more politically correct and controlled and the more we lose our freedom... And the more type of Sandy Hook events start happening because we're becoming alienated from our true selves, and then that's what causes people to snap.
When they're restricted from being,
you don't think it has anything to do with mental illness?
Well, yeah, but
it's not mental illness.
That guy that showed up Sandy Hook was mentally ill.
But I'm saying
he had access to guns. That he shouldn't have been.
I understand that.
Mental illness is exacerbated,
but
by the way society's
99.9% of people who are mentally ill are not violent. It's not.
That's your opinion.
No, it just so happens that the few percentage of people who are violent, then obviously we throw under the mentally ill umbrella. But then, you know, most of the time they haven't even been previously diagnosed with anything. But it's, you know, if you, I'm considered to have a mental illness.
I'm mentally ill.
I think we all are.
Yeah.
You know, clinical depression is a mental illness.
I'm not.
So no. We're not violent people.
I'm not mentally ill. I'm throwing that out right now.
I'm not either.
I am not mentally ill. I am a fucking good dude.
Yeah.
You can be mentally ill and good.
Oh.
Oh. Everybody who's ever depressed out there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, my bad. But and also I think I'm in a bad mood because last night I did a show called This Is Not Happening. It's a Comedy Central show about storytelling.
Yeah.
It's my third time on it. And I had to follow, I was like the second to the last person last night. Mm-hmm. And what's Pete's last name? Pete Johansson went up before me. He's a Canadian comic. Mm-hmm. And Louis Anderson right before him.
Oh, my God.
And they told, it's a comedy show.
Yeah.
And Pete's last thing was, my mom died. She was in a coma, and I love her. And she starts crying on stage almost, right?
No, but it was a really good, heartfelt story.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. I'm about to tell a story about poking my penis into my friend's eye.
Of course.
Which actually happened.
Yes, you did that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I'm back there. I look at Ari Shafir, the host, and I go, "You fucking son of a bitch. Why are you fucking putting me after this shit?"
You had to follow that?
Yeah, and it was also late. It was like 11 o'clock at night, 11:30 at night. And it was, and then there was a fucking box on stage.
Yeah.
That I didn't see. A pink box. I fell over it. So you see me in camera just disappear.
He was there and then he was gone.
Yeah, yeah. So not only did I have to follow Cryfest.
He belly flopped on stage.
I belly flopped on stage.
You literally flopped.
Yeah, he flopped.
And I get up and I did the best I could, but it kept me awake because, you know what I mean? You relive all these things. It was a very difficult audience. But I love the show and the format.
Because it triggered people.
Yeah, and I get what he was doing. Yeah. What he was doing is being real, and that's great. And
not
maybe,
the right place.
It probably is. I just didn't think of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I decided to do a story about me poking my little penis into somebody's eye, which happened. You know what I mean? But so that I couldn't sleep less. Anyway, but I'm glad everyone's here and everyone's healthy and safe. And that's the main important thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't judge you for your opinions. I love you very much. I don't think I'm going to die anytime soon, sweetie. But
I hope not.
Me either.
It's one of the roots of my anxiety. I have legit anxiety over him, me waking up to him dead. I don't know why it just enters my mind all the time.
We gotta.
Yeah. I should just stop thinking about that so I don't manifest.
And
it.
Here's another thing that kind of puts a little rift in our relationship, Charlie. Is that you don't like Game of Thrones.
It's not that I don't like it. I just can't get through the first. It's so boring.
Whoa,
Charlie.
Whoa. Let me ask you something. Let me just have a little consensus in the room, okay? Mm-hmm. George, do you watch Game of Thrones?
Hell yeah.
Do you love it?
Yep.
How about you, Bryce?
Absolutely.
You really do love it?
I love it.
You saw Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
You see Sunday, Gilbert?
Watched it.
Uh-huh. Kalai, obviously we saw it together.
Uh-huh.
You're the only one.
Yeah.
You're the only one.
Yep.
Why do you think that is?
Because you know what? I think for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't follow
free
the crowd.
Free thinkers, babe.
No. Listen to me. I love it. All right? Let me say something, all right?
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Okay. If you had never heard of Joy Division, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, man, you should check out Joy Division.
Yeah.
And then you were like, nah, it's not my thing. I listened to the first track on Closer. I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you made your judgments on that one track.
Yeah.
What would you be missing then?
I would be missing a whole
unknown pleasures. You know what I mean? A lot of
dimension of
exactly.
Experience.
Right.
Another layer of experience.
Exactly. And that's what I'm asking you to do for Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Is your.
Should I get the books to help?
No, the books
are very complex.
You know what I want to do with you, man?
Yeah, what do you want to do?
Because right now, you know, you left your job. And right now, you're in the middle of looking for a job. That's fine.
Oh, man.
That just depresses
you. We don't have to talk about that.
We're not talking about that. I'm just saying that you have time. I have time.
Who in the right mind leaves their job? We don't have another one like that. Who does it?
Yeah, he was talking to tell him that. Tell him that.
What happened?
Tell him.
I had to get a phone interview
today,
California, yesterday from California unemployment.
Yeah.
So they have to interview you before you collect or whatever.
Yeah.
And the guy sounded almost like, what was his name? Benny in L.A. Law.
Yeah. Do the impression.
Yeah. So let me get this straight. You said it right here that you quit. To pursue another career. You don't have another career. I was like,
well, you know, I do go out on auditions and stuff. He's like, but you're not working right. Who in their right mind? Who in their right mind quits a job without another job lined up? I mean, I'm not saying you. I just who does that?
Yeah, you know who you sound like right now?
Who?
Bernie
Sanders.
Yeah. That's who you're voting for.
Because he sounds like him.
Yeah.
Wait, is it their job
to make sure? And if I just had been honest and said that the reason why I left that job is because I had an abusive boss who bullied and belittled and berated me.
expose him.
Oh, I will. No. I am exposing him.
We can just talk about him. We don't have to say his name.
Charlie's going dirty.
How are you
going to
expose him? You shouldn't.
Don't expose him. But not his name, but
with my show.
Well, yeah, with your show. He's running a show on it. But I'm saying you can't call, you know, whatever.
That's the best type of inspiration to have a shitty
boss.
I'm
so grateful for that experience.
Yeah.
There you go. But my point is that right now we're both in between things.
Yeah.
I'm willing to start the beginning of Game of Thrones with you.
Okay.
I'm being real.
Yeah, let's
and
do
going
it.
From
I think it makes it more fun to watch it with someone.
Yeah.
And tell you, explain to you what's going on, you know.
Yeah.
And because that was, remember when I started.
He didn't start till season 3.
Yeah, I started so because same thing. I said, this is too many characters. I can't get into it. I hate it.
Yeah.
And she's like, you got to give it a chance. And I did. And I'm just grateful for it. It really is.
I'll give it a shot.
Did you see Sunday's episode? Yes. It was amazing.
Yeah. So does something happen after the third episode of season 1 that you clicks and you're into it?
Cause I
keep halfway
asleep.
Yeah.
I think every season about halfway through or after maybe the fourth episode, things really start to get rolling.
Yeah.
And then you start to really feel emotionally invested in the characters.
Yeah, you get really invested.
And you start to pick which ones you dislike, which one you like, and
it's the one show that I truly don't know what's gonna happen, because if you watch, let's say you go watch The Dark Knight, the one thing you know for a fact is he's probably not, even after the first movie, he's probably not gonna die.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Everyone is expendable here. Everyone can die.
Expendable.
Even in the first season, you think that there's a character in the first season who cannot possibly die.
Yeah. And that's what's great about it. And
but he does.
And there's also the writing in it, the patience in writing. It's like they revealed something Sunday that they held on to for 5 years, we had no idea. And they literally, they're just, it's craftsmanship.
Yeah.
You know, and it's discipline. It's writing discipline. It's really good.
Intellectual chess.
It really is good. And I tell my brother Steve that all the time. I know, dude, but I'm playing two games. I'm Destiny and Fallout, and I go back and forth, and Eric Griffin keeps harassing me.
Yeah, man.
Do you know what he called me last week? And you know what 12 o'clock midnight, Kalai?
Kalai.
Yeah, what's up,
and
Steve?
When you know Kalai? He's going to ask a question, like a really like sensitive question, when he says Kalai.
Kalai?
Yeah.
Can Bob play Destiny?
He has to go to you.
Yeah.
And I said, Steve, he can do whatever he wants. Oh, okay. I'm gonna text him right now and tell him you said yes.
He's 40.
Bobby, can I watch more porno?
Yeah.
Remember the first time we met?
Oh yeah. I met, we already said that where we met at the Upfronts in New York. He was on a show called Life on a Stick. I was on Mad TV, and my brother was there at the Upfronts.
Yeah.
And Charlie didn't even know I had a brother. And Charlie was in my hotel room.
We're just hanging
and there's like rooms. There was a room with a door into like the bedroom, whatever. Uh-huh. And Charlie's in the living room with me, and Steve walks through and goes, Bob, can I watch more porno?
Not trying to be funny.
No.
Like asking for permission.
Like permission to order it from the hotel.
More porno.
From the porn. Yeah. Because back then we didn't have iPads or smartphones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We had cell phones.
Did we have iPhones then? No.
No, there were no iPhones.
Yeah. We had flip phones.
We had flip phones and iPods.
I had a Trio probably.
Razors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you couldn't, you know, now, you know, you just Wi-Fi, your iPad. Everything, but Steve needed to ask for porn. You know what I mean?
Do you think that he'll come on by our 50th episode?
He may never come on this podcast because of the fact of David Cho.
I think that Dave wouldn't care at all.
I think he does care.
Really?
I do. And I don't think that he is resentful. I think he supports the show and Dave's full of love.
Yeah.
But I think that there is a part of Steve that thinks that if he does this show, that Dave will get mad.
He'll fire or like...
Not fired. He'll never do that. No, just Dave's family. I love him. That's not what I'm saying.
A loyalty thing?
Yeah. And so, I mean, I want him to be on the podcast. I think it'd be great.
I think I'm going to ask him again.
I mean, you could do exchange with them. If you do our podcast, Bobby then Steve play. Could play Destiny. Bobby will play Destiny. And then...
Oh, yeah. I'm going to text him that right now.
Really?
Yeah.
He'll probably take it.
And he'll 100% take it.
Yeah.
Then you have to play Destiny.
Yeah. I mean, I'll play it once in a while.
I wish... Steve cracks me
He's
up,
He's the
man.
Best. He's the... Oh, and then...
I wish I could have been there when he raised his elbow to, like... a middle-aged woman next to him in the movie theater.
I don't think we've ever said that story, have I? I've never talked
you
about
that. You talked about it on a different podcast on DVDA. Because we're in movie theater.
Well, okay, this is what happened. Because, you know, we probably have a group of people, a new group that... So, about 3 years ago, it was my birthday.
Yeah.
And my brother calls me and goes, "Dude, happy birthday." And I go, "Thanks, Steve." And he goes, "Hey, Bob, I bought you... tickets to The Master." What was The Master? 4 years ago? I don't remember.
Joaquin Phoenix, right?
Yeah. With Philip Seymour Hoffman. Mm-hmm. I go, oh. He never gets gifts.
Yeah.
That's like the first time he's ever done it.
So it's a big deal.
So it's a big deal. I go, yeah, cool. I'll pick you up. I pick him up. We go to the Arc Light, and the theater's packed.
Yeah.
It was like the opening week or whatever. And we sit next to older white couple. Mm-hmm. You know, the lady must be... 55, father, the dad or the husband's like same age, and we're watching the movie, and there's these scenes. I never saw the movie because this is what happened. There's in the beginning of the movie, you see Joaquin Phoenix running through a field all crazy and drunk, and my brother and I are both recovering alcoholics. He lets me say it, and we were laughing at it because mm-hmm. we related to it, right? But then as we're laughing, the lady next to us goes, "Psh!"
Yeah. Oh, that would trigger me into
she
rage,
goes,
too.
"What's so funny?" I said, "We're in a fucking movie theater, bitch."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can laugh at whatever
you're
I
allowed
fucking want
to. You're allowed to have your own... You're
opinions!
Allowed. Yeah, I know. That would Sorry. Make me so angry. That would make me so angry.
Sorry.
That, it's like you're not supposed to have a real experience and
just got me
real, an emotional
response
to something.
I know, but so my brother was patient.
Yeah.
My brother, and I also said... okay. It's my birthday. It's okay. So we keep watching the movie and we laugh some more. And then now what she does is she takes her left hand and smacks my brother's arm rest.
Uh-huh.
Like hard.
Yeah. Because
right?
you're not allowed to laugh.
She goes, "Shh!" Right? And then I look at my brother and you could just see his eyes shift.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And once it shifts, you know there's no unshift.
Right.
It takes about 12 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So now I'm like, "Great lady. Now you've mm-hmm. entered
yeah.
the Steve zone.
Good luck."
Good luck.
The Steve yeah. zone. There's
right?
a zone.
Right? So in my head and my heart, I was like, "Please, lady, don't do it again." I stopped laughing, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But my brother now is purposely laughing mm-hmm. to antagonize
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
Right? So my brother's going, "Gah, gah, gah, gah." You know what I mean? Like just random moments in
yeah,
there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And she just she taps one more time.
Yeah.
So my brother, so this is her head right here.
Yeah.
My brother goes like so. Imagine like his elbows like right in the like that. Huh? He just gets talking. "Huh? You like that? Huh? You want me to do that? Huh?" Right. The father's like standing up. Right.
Yeah.
I grab my brother by the hair.
Yeah.
And I drag him through a packed theater.
Yeah.
Through the hair. Get outside! You know what I mean? Like, I was so livid, right? And I'm pulling his hair out the thing. I get him out, right? And I release it. I go, "Thanks a lot. It's my birthday." He's going off with "That bitch, I'll fucking kill her." You know what I mean? I go, you know what I mean? And I bought it on my iPad, The Master. I can't watch it because of that.
It like rouse you up.
Well, it roused me up. Yeah.
I love that he bought the tickets.
He
bought the tickets and took you there.
Yeah, it took me
to then have a full meltdown.
meltdown in a packed theater. Yeah. It was literally like the worst birthday of my life. Yeah. And my brother used to do that all the time. Like, he did that. He snapped when I was testing for Matt TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The night of the test, I was living in Silver Lake, and I was with my brother, and we were playing Knockout Kings on PlayStation.
Boxing game?
Yeah. And it's like 3 in the morning. I have to be at Fox at like 9 in the morning, right? And
oh,
I can't sleep.
God.
He knows I can't sleep because I get so nervous. I was nervous for it, right? So we're playing Knockout Kings, and then I kept doing these low blows.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I kept doing low blows, right? And then, you know, the one low blow, you know, his character, I don't know if he was playing like Sugar Ray Leonard, kneeled over and I knocked him out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I just see the controller fall to the ground. My brother go to the kitchen. He grabbed two knives, right? And he came to me and he literally started trying to kill me.
But not like trying to scare you. He's holding back.
If I hadn't moved back through the swings,
you were like,
I would have been dead.
What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That like he was doing like, yeah, you mean? Hi, you want to die? No TV show for you. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like he literally.
What the fuck?
Snaps, right? And I cry. I go, you know what I mean? You're trying to kill me.
You're trying to ruin
the night that I'm, you know what I mean, getting a TV show.
Yeah.
Right? And then I went and got the show, right? And then the next day he pretended it never happened.
He tried to stab you?
Yeah, he tried to stab me. Oh, he's done that. I was playing FIFA with him once.
He tried to butcher knife you, right?
Yeah. I know, on Orange when he lives, you know, the place he lives in now in Orange. Mm-hmm. We're playing FIFA. And I scored. The time ran out. And all of a sudden, my head just goes like that, and he had punched me in the face.
Mm-hmm. You just looked over and he punched
you. No, I wouldn't look. My head, he punched me so hard that my head turned to the right.
Oh, he sucker punched
me. He sucker punched me. I'm like, yeah! You know what I mean? And he punched me in the face.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, he...
The whole nice guy, oh, I'll do anything.
He's a deceiver.
It's
a deception.
You don't want to get on Steve.
But yeah, I feel it's also a survival thing for him because he sent us a video of someone breaking into his house, remember?
Yeah.
When we were in Arizona, someone and like some guy was lurking in the dark, waiting just in their little courtyard and right
his
by his
door. His description was, he looked like John Jones, by the way.
He was like a big guy.
Huge black guy.
So he got a little freaked out, so he turned his phone on for video footage. But you should have heard what he was saying to this guy.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing here? Snapped. Back up, bro. Get the fuck out. He was going off on this guy. Like little old Steve.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He's a scary dude.
I wouldn't want Steve like freaking out on me.
My dad called two black guys the N-word when he was playing golf.
Your dad?
The one day I played golf with my dad, I was like 8 years old. The one and only time, right?
He.
These black guys were like, "You're so slow," because they were the group. The Koreans were the group ahead of them.
Yeah.
So one of the black guys comes up, big. Yeah, I don't remember. He was a big black guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he comes, and I the whole time I was playing with my dad and my uncles, I was like, "God, we're playing so slow." You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm 8. I don't even know the rules of the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then this black guy came out with his golf club and goes, "Hey, you guys, you know what I mean? Can you guys hurry it up?"
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, my God, you nigga. And my dad took the golf club and started swinging it at them.
Holy.
That's like, where Steve gets snapped.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where he gets it. Okay. My dad. You nigga, you know what I mean? And like, he just went, that's not, by the way, don't bleep that.
That's
because that's my dad saying it, right? You nigga.
Okay, we don't have to hear it 10 times.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. But like.
Can I say it?
No.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't say that.
But my point is that my dad was a snapperhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad beat, you know, my dad punched my
Korean
mom's.
Korean snapping turtle.
My mom's tooth out.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her tooth.
You guys are so violent, man.
He punched it.
So the opposite. He's not violent at all. I mean, he did scream at me the other day.
Yeah, but
top of his lungs. But then it lasted for maybe 20 seconds, and then I screamed louder, and then he backed up and got scared.
Yeah. I mean, I tried because I hate that about my dad. I hate that about my brother.
Yeah,
and I know it's in me.
Yeah,
so I've just learned to just kind of namaste about it.
Well, that's good for your health.
Excuse me?
They say that's good for your health. Like, the people that rage out don't live as long. High blood pressure, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I try not to do it. I don't do it.
Stress is a killer. You're more like
your
mother.
Stress is such a killer.
Isn't he like his mom?
My mom's who?
Silly.
You.
Silly, my dad's like silly. His mom. Yeah.
Your mom.
Well, I mean, my mom, too, is psychopathic in many ways. But you know what? You know what, though? Because we talk about your mom, too, Charlie. You know, we're not going to talk about your mom.
We talked about family before.
And the thing is that they really did the best they could.
Did they, though? I don't buy that. That's such a cop-out.
You know what? You don't think they did?
I think that's such a cop-out, don't you? No, they did the best. Like,
Well, I mean,
they just shamed me consistently, but they did the best they could.
What that's, but not that's what?
Huh?
Sometimes it's.
I get what you're saying.
Like, for instance, my mom beat the living shit out of me. It wasn't conventional spanking. It was punch in the mouth, belt to the stomach, kneeling on rock salt.
Yeah.
It was hard. Full-blown physical abuse.
Yeah.
With objects.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You guys were
beat. That's how she was raised.
Yeah.
She didn't know any other way. So if I see it from, you know, from that vantage point, then I'm more understanding of why I was treated that way. It was just cyclical.
Yeah.
When she got a little bit older and we moved to America, she was able to see, you know, outside of the microcosm that she lived in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, shit, like I put you guys through hell. But she was so unaware of it at that time. She just it was just taught to her.
Right, right.
That's all she knew.
It was a tradition.
Yeah.
Family tradition.
Same with the shaming. Yeah. She would shame the shit out of me for simple things like leaving a pencil box in my classroom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would get full-blown beatings for that.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't, and if I didn't leave or if I stayed in the Philippines in that small circle, I probably would think to rear my kids that way too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's but what amazing, is it with yeah. your parents? They just shamed you?
It's complicated. I mean, they're really nice people.
Yeah.
They are.
Very nice.
Very nice, yeah, yeah.
No, they're just, sometimes I wish.
He doesn't want to talk about it. I don't think he wants to talk.
Sometimes I wish I was just smacked more.
Mm.
Oh.
Oh, I see.
You wish the violence a little bit.
A little bit of the violence.
I'll call my mom for you.
But
I think she still has it in her.
The grass is greener. Yeah, I probably bitch about
that. The psychological stuff is as bad, you know?
Yeah, psychological might even be worse,
I think.
Maybe
worse, yeah.
The you know what it is? It's like, yeah, the psychological stuff is hard because the perpetrators of the psychological nonsense have such thick denial that you can't address it. They're like, what? No, the problem is you. You know, you're Mr. Sensitive. They have a great creative way of they make you think that the problem's you, but really,
yeah.
How? I mean, little kids.
Yeah.
How much are you supposed to punish little kids?
I know. I'd be like 12 years old at dinner, and my dad and mom would go, "Oh, your cousin Sheldon, she got accepted to Harvard. You know, God, her parents are so happy and proud of her."
Right.
You know what I mean? And my brother and I is, oh my God, we kill crawdads in the river.
Yeah.
That's all we know how to do.
And your dad was saying that.
Yeah, yeah. That's all we know how to do.
Make you feel bad. He was
shoving a knife in.
Yeah,
they do, yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, when we go to holiday with your uncle, aunt, we can't talk about you.
Yeah.
Because you do so bad every, you know?
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, I'm a loser.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a failure.
That's where the voice comes from.
Yeah, that's where it comes from. But
you're resilient.
You learn to survive.
And Kalila's resilient.
You learn to survive.
Yeah.
By developing certain things.
Yeah.
Like humor.
Yes.
Right? Or when I pull my penis out, like early when I pull my penis out.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
George, do you remember it?
Yeah, he remembers it, right? Yeah. And I just walked into the room. I learned things like that.
I learned things
Which,
like
those
that.
Are really, yeah.
Those are really good.
He was well naked adjusted. For so long earlier.
I still have the rage in my heart, though.
Me
I keep
too.
It in a little, very tightly sealed box for appropriate times. But when it comes out, it's so high. It's a high pressurized box that I never let open. So when I do open it, it's probably mayhem, and for the right reasons.
Scary.
But yeah, I think I accidentally let it out at that one pool attendant last year.
Yeah, like,
do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
And I mean, I was going to gouge her eyes
out.
Well,
first of all,
it was so inappropriate, actually. It wasn't an appropriate time.
Kalila tries to make me do, like, nature shit.
Yeah.
Or think activities, because that's what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like a shitty boyfriend because I'm not athletic.
Yeah.
And I don't like outside.
Yeah, yeah. You're.
He doesn't
I don't.
Like outside.
I like.
You're
inside.
An indoor
inside
cat.
And dark.
I'm an indoor cat.
Indoor,
indoor cat.
Kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right. So when she got me to go swimming,
yeah,
I got up and she knew that's a to-do.
Didn't you take a dump in the pool or is that something I'm thinking of something else?
He probably has multiple times.
Did you? Like, so just imagine you swimming like a little orangutan. Poop.
Whoa.
Pulling out your diapers off.
Whoa.
And pooping off the edge. The side of the pool. And the lifeguard's like, everybody out, there's an orangutan.
Whoa, Charlie's still so going.
I hijacked the story.
You called Bobby an orangutan.
I just, you tell us.
My God.
That's how he really feels about you,
my
babe.
My God.
Feelings are out.
I love you.
An orangutan.
Come on.
Sounds like it.
No.
Oh, my God, Charlie.
My God.
Sorry.
We might have to take a little step back here for a second.
Go on with the story.
No, no.
Can we go back?
No.
Sorry.
No, I would, like to, no, I would like to address.
I'm over caffeinated.
I would like to address.
I'm over caffeinated.
I would like to address what you just said, please. Okay. Number one, I've never shit in a swimming pool. So now you're throwing that reputation out there, a rumor that I did that. All right. Number two, I'm not an orangutan.
Why did you choose that animal?
Yeah, why did you choose that animal? Right?
His limbs are too short.
So you just made up a fucking story in your fucking twisted head that something that happened, all right? And then you laughed maniacally.
I want to apologize and then...
Please apologize.
What can I do to correct it?
There's
and make it right?
Watch Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, watch Game of Thrones. Okay.
So go on
anyway,
with the pool attendant.
My fucking God.
I can't
God.
Beat the orangutan story.
You can't, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, anyway, she went crazy.
What did the pool attendant do?
Yeah. Because
well,
she did what?
So this was a really big deal for me because I finally got Bobby to go out and do a physical activity under the sun.
I love it when Bobby does stuff out of the house.
Right, so we go to the Glassell Park pool, which is, a shitty community pool,
yeah.
But, no one's ever there. So you're like, fuck it, let's go there. And I've been there so many times. I teach swimming over there. So
yeah.
They know me. So I walk in there. And this fucking bitch pool attendant looks at Bobby. He's disheveled.
Yeah.
You know how he dresses. Like, he looks like he just rolled out of bed 24/7. She looks at him. He looks ragged.
She thought I was a heroin addict.
Yeah.
That's
so
what she looked at me.
She
like.
Looked
right,
at him
right.
very in a very discriminating way.
Yeah.
And she was like, do you have swim shorts? And Bobby's like, yeah, I do. And he had Nike sliding shorts.
Yeah.
Which is basically the same. It's latex. It's
That's
Lycra.
Fine. Yeah.
It's Lycra. It's the
yeah.
same exact
yes.
material. Or very similar to a Speedo suit.
Right.
And being that I was a swimmer for 15 fucking years,
yeah.
I would know what's appropriate for a swimming pool,
yeah.
right? So Bobby shows his trunks. He's like, yeah, I have these shorts. She goes, oh, yeah, you can't get in.
Ooh,
mind you, there are guys in the pool wearing full-blown, like inappropriate shorts for swimming. Like,
yeah.
he's wearing tight Lycra
yeah.
shorts, sliding shorts.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, you can't go in. And so I popped off.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, wait a second. Make me understand why he can't go in.
Oh,
okay. Well, those
she
are Nike Pro Combat
did
shorts.
She?
You
yeah.
need, yeah.
Yelling?
I
Were you, did you like raise
I
your
went
voice?
Back twice, Charlie. I didn't raise my voice.
I got to leave.
he dragged me out. He dragged me out. He's like, come on. And he actually, I couldn't be dragged out. So he left.
I left.
And I...
It's a good battle to pick. You know, they say pick your battles. That's a good one to pick.
Because she just looked at one look at him. And she didn't even ask anybody else who was going in, any other guy, to see their trunks. She only wanted to discriminate against him.
Race.
And I
was
felt
it racial?
Totally.
No, I don't think it was racial. I think it was more classism.
Yes,
yeah,
classes.
Yeah.
That I had no money and it's like, I do. Not
yeah,
a lot,
that
but I do have some
stuff.
Money. You know what I mean?
I've been with a guy. Oh man!
Wait,
you've been with
been
a guy?
With a guy? Wait, what?
No, I
what?
Was.
Wait,
with,
what?
I was once years ago working with this guy. Do you remember that movie Fresh with Samuel Jackson and that little? There was like a little black kid who's an incredible actor in Fresh. And
yeah, I remember that. You worked with that little black kid.
I worked with him. His name's Sean Nelson. This guy is so like sweet, like really talented, super talented. So anyway, we go to this.
Well, what did you work on with him?
It was called like The Year That Trembled. It was a garbage movie.
Well, like a disaster movie?
It was about like Vietnam. It was about the draft, the Vietnam draft in Ohio.
So it was like a Hallmark
basically,
movie of the week kind of
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Lifetime.
Lifetime.
Oh.
Anyway, we went to like, I think it was Shaw's Blue Crab or one of those like crab house chains that are like the Houstons of crab places. It was Jay Ferguson and Sean Nelson and I. We walked in. It was like 3:30 in the afternoon.
I remember the story.
And we walk in.
Right.
And Sean had cornrows in.
Right. Jay Ferguson is on Mad Men.
He was, yeah.
He was on Mad Men.
The Real O'Neills.
Real O'Neills.
Yes.
And the manager guy or the maitre d' or whatever he was like, I can't let you guys in. And we're like, huh? And he looked at me and he goes, you're wearing, I had khaki shorts on. He's like, you're wearing shorts. And Jay was like, you sure, bro? That's why you're not letting us in? And he's like, yeah, he's wearing shorts. Like, that's, we have a dress code in this restaurant. And Jay was like, okay, man, fair enough. We'll leave. So we leave and we get in the car and we see an old white couple get out of their car and the man's wearing t-shirt and shorts. And so we wait. We're like, let's wait for them.
Oh, I love this.
Nice.
And we wait, and a few minutes go by, and now it's clear that, like, these old white people got in.
Yeah.
There was no one in there, by the way. It was, like, middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
So Jay's like, fuck that, man. Let's go back. You know, and Sean was like, no, I don't want to do this. But we went back in, and you should have seen the look on the manager guy. He was, you know, he was, like, busted. He was, like, mortified. He was totally, first thing he said was like, I'm going to call the police.
What?
That's your response?
That was it. He was so scared because Jay came, like, busted the door open.
Yes.
And was just said, what the fuck, man? You're fucking racist. And the guy was like, and he ran back into the kitchen.
Oh, my dick. God. You know what? Same thing happened to me, dude.
Really?
In Houston, Jordan Peele and I. They wouldn't let us in a fucking restaurant because I was wearing a baseball cap.
Yeah.
And I put the baseball cap outside because I didn't like that baseball cap. Came back in, and then he made up another excuse.
Yes. That's what they did
fucking
to us.
Fucking crazy. Fucking crazy, man.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore, though.
No, I don't
think
so.
I'm sure there are still places that do that.
Not in Texas.
This was outside of Cleveland that this happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think that happens anymore.
You would hope not.
No, I do because I can tell by when, because in the 80s, every day you would have white people do this. You know how they lean there?
Yeah.
And they go, ching chong, you know, right?
Yeah.
It was just okay to do that to an Asian.
I still think it's okay to do that. Right? No, I don't.
Yeah, you don't.
There was a guy, I watched the first episode of The Bachelorette yesterday.
Yeah.
And I like to watch this show because it's so cringeworthy. It's like a fucking, you know, car accident you can't peel your eyes out of, right? Off of. And there was a guy, they had a half Asian guy as one of the contestants to, you know, attempt to woo one woman, right? And he comes in and he's this tall, half, he's like, I'm half Chinese, half Scottish, and he's wearing a kilt. And he said the hackiest, most cringeworthy joke ever. He's like, but don't worry, I'm half Scottish, like below the waist where it matters.
Yeah.
And he fucking just threw
the entire nation of China under the bus. I would unleash Steve on him if somebody said that. Steve.
Oh, and he was so douchey. He was one of those like half Asian guys who was probably just so proud of being like rich and probably he was prouder of being white. It was almost as if being Asian was a handicap to him. And it was just so annoying. I wanted to punch my TV. That's all I wanted to say about that.
It's so funny.
Vote him off, everyone.
It's so funny.
He's already off. She was like, fuck you. Go away.
Ooh. It's so funny that you don't, even if I didn't want to be Asian, mm-hmm. it's just what I am. I was born this way. You know, and in my head, I just don't ever think about my ethnicity. I mean, people label me because I guess because my parents are Korean. Mm-hmm. And culturally, they're Korean, whatever. But you don't really feel it. You just kind of like, you know, you have eyes. You have an internal mind, you know what I mean, that you think things. And it's not a part of who I am, really. I mean, I want to live. I want to, you know, I want to see the sunlight. I mean, you know.
You don't want to see the sunlight.
I mean, whatever, you know what I'm saying, that I want, yeah. You know what I mean? I want to eat. I want to enjoy food, things that I
the
like.
The richness
I mean,
of life.
Yeah, know? And it's like, it's just in a weird.
But that's also the beauty of living in LA. We're allowed to feel very secure in who we are because it is so multicultural. Now, imagine being Korean. It would probably be more apparent to you and you would probably feel being Korean more so if you grew up in a different state that wasn't as culturally diverse.
And I might be wrong about this, Clyde. That's a very good point. But I do the road a lot. And I do get to go. I mean, you know, I've seen everywhere, you know. And like, to me, it's like even talking to other Asians out there or even Indians or whatever the race might be. It's something, it's a political thing. You're Mexican-American. You're, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's not something that's a personal thing that I ever think about.
No.
Right.
No.
Do you ever walk around going, I'm white?
No.
You look in the mirror and go, it's just something that you've accepted because that's just what you are.
If I look at myself, I'd be like, I would be the good Nazi. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding.
Jesus Christ.
No, but you ever be like Schindler.
No, I'd be like, yeah, or what's the piano player or whatever?
The pianist?
The pianist where, like, remember the Nazi discovers
Adrian Brody,
and he lets him play, like, hides him in there.
Yeah.
That's you?
Yeah, because I'm half German.
That's you.
If they scared me into that army, I would be the nice one.
You're Ray Fiennes in Schindler's List.
Is he the good one?
Yes.
No.
No, he's not Schindler. You're saying he's the other guy.
Yeah, well, who played the bad German in Schindler's List? Was it Ray Fiennes?
I'd be the good German.
No, you're Ray
Fiennes. The good German.
You're Ray Fiennes.
You're good guy.
You're the one that shot the little the little girl with the red dress.
No. Ralph Fiennes?
You shot.
No.
Yeah.
Charlie good guy, good girl. German.
Yeah, Ralph
good
Fiennes.
German.
Nope.
Hey, let me just say something, Charlie.
Nope. Let me say something.
Hey, fuck you. I like when you do that. Hey, fuck you.
You haven't said anything today.
Because I was told on the internet not to talk when there's four people on mics.
No, you can
Who
talk.
Who said that?
People were like, Gilbert, stop talking when there's a guest.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this going okay?
It's great. It's good. It's great.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Why don't you say anything?
I'm listening.
You listen to people online?
You read
comments? Yeah, do not let those people infect your thinking.
No, just because there's too many, the volumes, volumes, yeah.
What's going on with you?
Not much. Working. Not on Mad TV. Guys, I tried. I texted Clyla a message.
Them. Yeah.
I tried. They said Gilbert was funny. We don't know.
No.
We don't. You know.
It's already been casted, right?
No, it hasn't been casted yet.
It has.
They tested today.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, Adam Ray, I think, got through.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I had a meeting with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they said you were funny, but you weren't prepared, they said.
Uh-oh. Yeah, Gilbert, what happened?
No, you
nervous?
Here's what you should have done. You should have sat with me for an hour and gone through exactly what you were supposed to do.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get nervous?
That's the one thing I was upset about when I had the meeting with Salzman was that in my head, I really believe that you could have got the show.
Oh, I believe that you could.
Yeah. And if you were just, you know, when Johnny Sanchez got the show, we went through it piece by piece. I told him exactly what to do and he got the show.
Yeah.
What you should have done, Bobby is at your disposal. This is your arsenal.
And I asked you and you were like I'm going to just do my own thing kind of a
vibe.
He's the type who doesn't want to bother and burden people, though.
Remember, I told you I changed my set when we talked the night before. I just had four callbacks that day.
You canceled those.
I can't cancel the callback.
Yeah, you can.
Callbacks for shows?
No, it's a callback.
It's a callback.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm also trying to make good impression with...
I know, I'm just...
He's the callbacker. You can't... That's his
okay,
nickname.
I mean, fine.
No. I changed all the stuff you told me. I changed.
I know,
but we
should have gone through it beat by beat, line by line.
Constructive criticism for me is if something is available to you, and this is a guy who was on the show for 8 years, there was no bigger ally in the 10 hours that you had to prepare than Bobby Lee. And what you should have done is saying, you know what, Bobby, I know you're busy. I know that a lot of people have been asking you, but can we sit down for 2 hours and we write this out and you tell me exactly how to get the job? Even if that was 2 hours, you should have sucked in your pride, swallowed your pride a little bit, you know.
And even if you didn't want to do it the next day, I could have got you another day to go in to prepare more.
Yeah, I just said yes. I didn't want to lose it.
No, there are options available to you. But I knew at one point that, because when Salzman was calling me about Jade's deal and Adam Ray's deal and Amir, I'm hands on with them. You know what I mean? If you had hit it out of the ballpark, you would have got the show.
And you could have hit it out the ballpark.
You could have hit it out of the ballpark.
You're talented. You have
You have the ability to do it. That's why I was a little, you know what I mean, taken aback that we didn't sit down and go through it beat by beat. I'm not mad at you. there'll probably gonna be another time. I can get you another audition next year if it gets picked up. But next time, we have to get through, go through it.
Next time, he'll be more ready. It all works out.
It does work out at the end. You know what I mean?
And who knows? It might be a disaster of a show. I can't think of anything I've ever gotten close on and didn't get that was like turned into the next
Friends.
Something
huge, yeah.
None of it.
Well, I tested for New Girl, didn't get it. I wish I was on that show.
I mean, yeah, that would be good exposure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you
told There's a lot of things that I either tested for or went out for that became very big hits.
Yeah.
And you have too.
I've tested for stuff that...
Never.
I haven't tested in a while.
Oh, let's not go there.
No, but I'm just saying, I'm not going to go there. I'm just trying to think of what it... But nothing's, like, taken off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in this day and age, it's tough, man. You know, I'm sorry. Did I come at you in a weird way?
No.
I think it's a perfect teaching moment.
Yeah.
It's
I just, you know, I love you so much.
I know that.
When it's a high pressure situation and you have a lot on your plate, but there's someone at your disposal, you got to really speak up and be like, you know what, Bobby? I need the help today, right now.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, with
it's hard to ask for
exactly
help.
Because that's how
you know me. I hate asking for
help. He is so not the type to ever ask for anything.
I'm the same way.
You know what I did? The night I tested before my brother tried to stab me that night, I remember it was a Tuesday night, and I went to the comedy store. I didn't have a spot, and I seeked out Guy Tori.
I don't know who that is.
You know who Joe Tori is?
Joe Tori?
Yeah. Like the baseball manager?
No, Joe Tori and Guy Tori were like Def Jam. Like Joe Tori was the host of Def Jam.
Black
comic, yeah. His brother Guy was in Citizen X, I guess, with Ed Norton. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, American History X.
American History X. Oh, love that movie. When he makes him bite the curb.
Yeah,
oh,
so that's Guy, right? Mm-hmm. So I went to Guy. He used to run Fat Tuesday, which is a black room. It used to be packed. He was like Bernie, Max, Cedric the Entertainer. They all used to hang out there. And you couldn't even get back there. I weaseled my way back because I knew Guy to ask him some advice, right? And he gave me the best advice. And I think I still tell him to this day that it helped me get the job. And it's going to sound so stupid. But he goes, yo, dude, you know, when you make love to a woman for the very first time, I go, yeah. He goes, you show her everything, don't you?
Yeah.
I go, yeah. And then by the fifth year, you don't. I go, yeah. He goes, show them every comedy muscle.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know what I mean? Like your best. Mm. And I go, okay. You might disagree with that.
No.
But that got my head wrapped around.
Yeah.
Because it made me understand what I needed to do the next day.
I'm gonna write that down for myself.
You're being sarcastic.
No, I'm serious. That's a good.
You applied it to your work, but you didn't apply it. First made love.
Oh no.
That was my best.
That was your best.
Yeah.
What would
you didn't use every muscle, babe. I used every muscle. You just laid there on your back.
That's my best.
that was your best?
My sexual
habit. You know, and like I've just had surgery. He still doesn't want to do work. Like I'm the one who's supposed to be laying on my back.
I'm like that too. I'm like a prince.
That's how we do it.
You just wave them in.
That's how we do it.
You lie on your back and you just wave them in.
Yeah.
And you just lie.
Next.
Wave them in.
What's the most despicable thing you've ever done to a partner?
To
a woman, somebody that you've dated.
Oh my.
Despicable?
Like I said something to Christine. That it just snapped one day and she was like jerking me off and I go, what are you doing? It's not a joystick. Because she was like, you know what I mean? Like there was buttons on, you know what I mean? Just, you know what I mean?
And
she was like,
what's the thumb doing? What's the thumb doing?
I don't know. At the tip of my dick. And she was going, you know what I mean? I'm like, what are you fucking doing? And she started crying.
Yeah.
Why would she cry?
She's the one who's fucking up.
She's the one who's fucking up.
She's breaking her dick.
Having sex with this actress.
Of age?
Yeah, of age.
Yeah.
And she started to cry.
Why?
Because she, I don't know. Like she was like, felt conflicted about giving it up so easily or something. She had like
issues.
She started crying during sex.
Postcoital depression.
So I yelled at her while we're having sex.
Charlie, what the fuck?
I said, stop fucking crying. Grow up.
That's hot.
Oh, I love it.
I would love that.
And I just rammed her.
While fucking? Or did you stop, yelled, and then continued?
No, he kept doing it while he was doing it.
I kept doing it. I told her to grow up and finished.
I have one more that's so evil.
Go.
I have one that's so evil.
That's hot, Kalila. So if someone told me,
shut up, stop crying, because I'm kind of a sadist in that way, or I'm like masochistic in that way. So I'm thinking he doesn't really mean it. He's just doing it in the throes of passion.
Yeah, yeah.
And I that would, yeah. Okay. That's pretty good.
I can't tell.
That's a good one, Charlie.
I can't tell one, but something happened like 5 years ago that I feel so bad about.
Mm-hmm. I love that story.
There's no names.
Okay, so I know somebody.
Poor Christine.
Yeah. The joystick.
She got funny wrists.
Yeah, yeah.
She got hashtag funny wrist.
Poor girl.
No, she's
more
a
names.
Great girl. Come on.
No more names.
Oh, no
that
more names.
Why I said
yeah,
no
yeah.
More
I matched
names.
With. Remember, I matched with Christine on Tinder, and we chatted all night, and then I had no idea I was even chatting with her.
But why would she not know that you're Bobby's best
she
friend?
She knew that I was your friend, but I didn't
it's
know.
So evil that
that's
she would
shady.
Do that.
I didn't know. But you know, it was weird. It's like she started talking about all these bands. She's like, I was like, how does this girl know about Roxy Music and all this shit?
Because she knows that Bobby likes Roxy Music.
And then, yeah, she was talking about that. And then, like, I started looking at her picture. And then she mentioned something about working at CAA. And that's when I put it together. And then that was it. I never talked to her ever again. Yeah. I don't mess around like
so
that.
So I know a comedian. Yeah. And I'm not going to name names. But a comedian's friend, right, who was a virgin.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Say, repeat this.
Yeah.
So I know a comedian's friend that's a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
That was a virgin at the time.
The guy was?
No, the girl. Mm-hmm. It was a girl that was a virgin.
Uh-huh.
And I thought she was cute. So she got her some dates and then that. She's at my house. And I knew that she was a virgin. And so we were starting making out. And I'm like, yeah, I know you're a virgin. So, you know. Yeah. So well, let's not take it any further. And she goes, well, I think I'm ready. And you know when that happens.
How old is she?
22.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like 36.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
Fair.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So
that's good.
I go, all right, let's try. And then we go to the room.
Okay, let's try.
And it was like, so basically she was like a board like this.
Yeah.
She arched her back up.
Yeah.
And she had her hands within fists, right?
Yeah.
And she was going, owie, owie, owie.
And she was, you weren't even inside yet.
No, I was like, just the tip was in. And I just stopped.
Yeah.
Get out.
You said get out.
I couldn't do it. It was driving me fucking crazy.
Ow, ow, ow.
I thought it would have turned you on, thinking like, oh my God.
No.
Because that sounds excruciating. That sounds like she's being like punished.
Yeah, yeah.
Deep psychological, emotional issues there.
I should have said that story because I don't want that person to be. She was a good person.
I'm sure she was. Yeah. She just owie'd too much. Yeah.
I made it go. I didn't say get out. I just said, hey, I don't think this.
Yeah.
You know, it's late or whatever. And you know what I mean? And then she left. I really never hung out with her again. And I feel really bad about it.
You're a human being, man.
I know, but it was so irritating.
My buddy told me a really fucked up story of what he did to his wife. And to this day, I can't get it out of my head.
What did he
do? This is why I think that I have, because I heard this story when I was 19.
Yeah.
And so this is a guy I've known. I'm still friends with him. But he had been with his wife at this point. They had two kids together. They'd been together for 8 years. He goes to Reno with a weekend with his boys. He has sex with a woman.
Yeah.
Comes back home. He has sex with his chick. And then a day later, or maybe later on that night, he realizes that his dick is starting to ooze.
Oh.
And he's starting to have, you know, symptoms of chlamydia, right? Oh. But he had already fucked his wife.
Oh.
So he for sure passed it on to her, but she doesn't know it yet. He had caught chlamydia from the girl in Reno.
Ooh.
So his wife at this point, because they just had kids, so maybe she still had the pregnancy weight on, and he was a trainer at the gym.
Uh-huh.
So what he did was he took a bunch of antibiotics for chlamydia. He put it inside a weight loss bottle, and then he gave it to his wife, who was very insecure about her weight. And he's like, "Hey, this is the newest thing that they're giving off at the gym.
That's crafty.
You have
sneaky.
To take it three
Clever.
Times a day for 7 days for it to work." And he replaced the diet pills with antibiotics, and she fell for it.
Is that legal?
No, that's illegal.
And to this day, I mean, she still doesn't know it to this
day. Wow.
Now she knows.
That's
She's a listener.
That is
insane.
That's very intelligent and clever of him.
Yeah, very clever.
And I thought to myself, and you know what? He's a platoon leader too. Like he's
of course.
He's like
I was
going to
say,
like
is he the Navy SEAL or is he like a? He's that's like special forces. right
there. Cosby did the same thing, but they weren't antibiotics.
They weren't antibiotics.
But that was like, I mean, he really saved himself a big disaster.
But it fucked me up at 18 thinking that, you know, he seemingly, he looked like he loved her. She was a really good woman. They had kids
love her.
And family and
he
stuff.
He did love her.
Yeah, obviously, he didn't want her to get the
her
clap.
Chlamydia.
Yeah.
But that
That's love.
Fucked with my psyche so much.
I took a mercury thermometer. Remember thermometers used to be mercury? And my mom went to go pick up my dad at the train. And we had a pot roast in the oven. I wanted
the 1500s. I
wanted, yeah, I wanted to like measure the heat of the pot roast, and I stuck the mercury thermometer, and the thing broke, and mercury went all over. Oh. And I just cleaned the glass out and just shut the oven. So
wait.
My whole family ate
pot
roast with mercury on it.
Oh my god!
Wow.
Yeah.
Mercury poisoning.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, you guys hear this urban legend about how a girl found maggots in a hole in her mouth.
I know that one.
You know the urban legend where, and then it turns out that her boyfriend.
Can I tell it?
Yeah.
The urban legend is a girl goes to Vegas with her friends. She meets a guy one night and thought she was really hot, but she was like, you know what? I'm not going to hook up with him. But if I see him the next night, I'm definitely going to hook up with him. Sure enough, the next night she sees him. She's like, yeah, I'm not going to sleep with him. I'm going to give him a blowjob. Yes. So she blows him to completion.
Oh, no. Yes.
She goes back to her dorm room. Uh-huh. And then about a week later, she starts to realize she has these like blue bumps in her mouth.
Oh, my God.
And then she went to the doctor. Ooh. And she was like, hey, you know, something's going on with like the line, the inside of my mouth. The doctor goes, swabs it, cultures it. The girl goes back to the doctor saying, hey, what were the results? And they were like, stay right here. And because apparently she wanted they wanted to question her. The cops were waiting to question her.
Yeah.
And they were like, who was the last person that you had sexual like interactions with? Yeah. Who did you give a blowjob? And she's like, why? She goes, oh, because the certain thing that they found in your mouth could only be contracted from someone who had sex with a dead person. And that turns out the guy she hooked up with worked in the Las Vegas mortuary.
Oh, my God.
And he fucked dead people. And then she got maggots in her mouth.
That's why is my body?
It's an urban, it's
that's an urban
legend.
It sounds real to me.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
But how could you figure like what types of bacteria resides in a dead body only that doesn't reside in
the maggot kind?
Man. But maggots are actually really good for healing things.
Yeah,
it eats dead tissue.
Don't. Okay.
They're not dirty.
No, they're not dirty. They're little larvae.
Yeah.
You just eat everything.
I love it. Where we at time wise?
We're at an hour.
One hour?
Yeah.
Unhelpful advice with Bobby, Kalila, and Charlie's a good guy.
This question is from Twitter, from at jhayes91. How should I attempt to help a friend that makes his drug addiction hides his drug addictions well, yet his friends and family know about it too? Should I leave it alone or make an effort? It almost seems helpless since his family can't help him either.
Wait, so the family is enabling?
Everyone's aware of it, but no one wants to help. A friend wants to help. Friend wants to help. Family doesn't care.
Ooh, that's
my opinion is there's nothing you can do.
The family's not on board.
It's up.
I mean, it's for me. It's like, you know, every alcoholic that I know that gets truly sober, you know what I mean?
They do it on their own.
They do it on their own.
It's the voice inside that tells them it's time.
Yeah, I mean, I've been taught that you have to hit a bottom. I've been taught that you need a psychic change and a spiritual awakening in order to stop. And it's just one's voyage. And statistically, only 5% of the people that are drug addicts and alcoholics stay sober.
Really?
Yeah.
5%?
5%.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Really?
And, yeah. And I believe, and this is what I believe, that the reason why I've been sober 14 years, it has nothing to do with anything but the fact that I've constantly gone to meetings. I've constantly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, off and on, I've gone some years more than others.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
So if you were this person.
Yeah.
What would you do? Leave it alone? Watch your friend hit rock bottom? Allow them to hit rock bottom?
You have to.
But what if they don't because the family is enabling? Like, what can you do in this guy's position?
Just nothing.
Has the friend talked to the family? Why doesn't he talk to the family?
If the guy's hiding it and the family does or does not know, you know what I mean? It still doesn't matter. It's like, I feel like the drug addict needs to be aware that death is imminent or around the corner.
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, because when I used to drink heavily, Michael Rosenbaum,
I love him,
pulled me aside one day,
Lex Luthor,
at his house, and was like, one summer we'd always hang out at his house. He's like, "Hey, man, I just want to let you know that, you know, your friends are kind of worried about you. You drink too much, and we all kind of talk about it."
Yeah.
And that made me, that idea got stuck in my head, and I got sober like 3 months later.
A skater by the name of Laban Fidias.
Yeah.
Before the Mad TV thing happened, came up to me and he said, "Dude, like, you're taking way too many pills. You're going to die." And I remember being so defensive. Like, fuck you, dude. Yeah. You know what I mean? But that was one of the things, you know what I mean? So I guess.
Plant a seed.
That does help. But I had to still go through that disastrous thing that happened to me. But it's like, it does help. But the thing is that at the end of the day.
They have to do it.
They have to do it. And they have to realize.
So, yeah, I think it does help to plant the seed and make them aware.
And then detach and let them hit their bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was a very good podcast.
Oh, wait, you got to plug your shows because you're going to be in Bakersfield tomorrow night.
I'm in Bakersfield. When is this released? Tonight?
Tonight, then. So tonight.
Yeah, so I'm in Bakersfield tomorrow. I don't know where.
At the Tembler Brewing Company.
Woo!
Bakersfield. That's awesome. Merle Haggard.
Is Merle Haggard from Bakersfield?
Yeah.
And I'm in the Seattle Parlor
die?
Live.
2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Parlor Live.
Yeah, so next weekend. No. June 9th through the 11th, Bobby will be at Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington. And
one of my favorite comedy rooms of all time. Mm-hmm. It really is. You have great restaurants. Kalila saved somebody's life there.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a great place. I just want to say that when you're on, the thing just goes by super quickly, and it gives it a nice dimension.
For real?
Yeah, I love it. Oh. It really does. Because sometimes, you know, us three, we just kind of have to, you know, it's just fun to have a guest
that we trust.
I like hanging out with you guys. I like hanging out with you guys. I mean, fucking white.
Was Arizona the first time you guys were on the road together?
Yeah, Arizona last 2 weekends ago.
Oh, yeah, we went to Arizona together. That was fun,
man. I went on the road. That was a lot of fun.
That really was fun.
Can I plug something?
Yeah, go plug away, dude.
I'm in Lady Dynamite.
You are in Lady Dynamite.
In Lady Dynamite. What does that air?
Small Roar.
It doesn't matter.
Small Roar. It's already on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
What episode? What number ends?
I think I'm in like episode 112, so that's 12, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in 12.
But he's in episode 112, and he plays a guy with a shotgun.
Yeah, I work in a vet clinic.
Yeah. Well, check it out.
Lady Dynamite is Maria Bamford's new
Netflix show. Yeah, it's a really funny show.
I'd like to talk about her some other time.
Yeah.
Charlie, your Instagram handles, your Instagram, social media?
You guys have 150 followers.
What'd you have before when you...
Zero.
Yeah, that's 150 more.
What?
Yeah. Let's get him more followers. Yeah.
Charlie is a good guy.
Charlie's Instagram. Did you see the cartoon, the stickers we're going to make?
Yeah, those are really
neat. You saw
them? Yeah.
That cool?
Yeah.
Anyway, I love you guys.
Is that it? Is that how we're ending it?
Uh-huh. Make sure you guys follow us on Instagram at TigerBelly, on Twitter at TheTigerBelly. And if you want to email us any questions, you can email us at TheTigerBelly@gmail.com. You can follow Kalila at CalamityK on Snapchat, where there's videos of her naked boyfriend and cats. Mm-hmm. Charlie, you don't have Snapchat, do you?
On Snapchat, L.A. Charles.
Is it really L.A. Charles?
But it's La Charles.
And La Charles.
You should change it to Charlie's a good guy. So it's
I like La Charles. Keep La Charles.
I like La Charles. La Charles is like my other name. Yeah. Snapchat La Charles. Snapchat La Charles. My name is La Charles.
Yeah. Make sure you follow us on YouTube at Tiger Belly, where you can watch our vlogs and video podcasts. And check out Lady Dynamite.
Yeah, I meant to watch that yesterday because it just came out over the weekend, I think.
It's
right?
So funny. It's so weird. It's Mitch Hurwitz, Arrested Development co-creator, Maria Bamford.
I just love Maria Bamford.